Good morning. If you think prayer alone can replace just prayer alone, nothing else, just prayer alone can replace hard work and you putting in the work and sleepless nights to grind and get your, you know, get the job done. If that's your line of thinking, that, you know what, I'll just sit here at home, eat my potatoes, read my good book and pray very diligently and everything I wish will come to pass. Yeah. Let me remind you that right now as we speak in the Middle East, there is a war which is active right now, which involves three religions, and they are all using scientific technology they had to work really hard for to achieve. I mean, look, I expected them to exchange thunderous prayers and but no, they decided to employ technology. Who knew? Well, at least I didn't. So, please, I'm not saying don't pray. I'm just saying work hard too. You're welcome. Good morning and happy Sunday. Welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. It's a comedy show, in case you missed it. Now, to the theme song, while I bring you the importance of divide and conquer in the world of geopolitics. But we're going to start at home. I have a very beautiful example, but the example at home is starting from a language perspective. Now, this is just my point of view. I think English played a significant role in the whole, Baloti situation in Parliament. There is a lot of... Adopt your native language. You people say one day you will go to war because of English. But more on that on the other side of the break. On the other side of the theme song. What break? It's a comedy show. We're just playing DJ and, a little bit of DJ and more cooking.
Hey,
And welcome back. Now, let's talk a little bit about what is going on in the world of politics. Now, I know a lot of people find politics boring, but you know, one thing I discovered, actually, someone had to point it out to me. I just never connected the dots that a lot of people will wake up into a corporate dictatorship, and they'll be like, when did this happen? Because they did not pay attention to the world of geopolitics. Now, if you listened to what the Secretary General of the UN said earlier this year in his press conference for what plans he has in store as the head of the UN for the 2026. For the year 2026. Well, he did point out that, we are seeing a very scary transfer of power from governments, not from governments to people, but from governments to tech companies. If you don't think that statement is scary, let me just remind you that in any war that's being fought in the 21st century, everyone is just focused on the war where the bombs are exploding. But the fact is, the bombs exploding is that's how wars are fought. There are bombs exploding. But before that, and actually during that, there's a lot of cyber attacks taking place between these two countries that are at war. And that's the part of the war that nobody sees, because it takes place in the digital realm. And there's a lot of private actors involved into selling these tools that are being used by these different countries to attack each other over using keyboards, at the comfort of their living rooms or their bunkers. That's how they're attacking each other. Now, from the look of things, we are seeing, we are seeing education shift from the traditional, a book to the, to the digital sphere. And you are seeing your workplace transform from your traditional office to the digital sphere. Translation, you can do your job at your, at home now. Everything, agriculture is not going to be practiced in the same way that it was for a very long time. Now we are seeing, everything is transitioning from their traditional way of doing it to the digital way of doing it. Well, war is not an exception. It's also moving. Well, Tura boys have moved from simply, grabbing your purse to just taking your phone, taking their phone and calling you so you can provide them your information so they can steal you. So they can steal your money. So Tura boys have shifted from the traditional grabbing, because there's a lot of risks that come with that, including being shot in the head. So they decided, we have got to keep up with technology. Teachers have got to keep up with technology. Nurses have got to keep up with technology. Pilots, everyone have got to keep up with technology. War have kept up with technology. Actually, war invented keeping up with technology. Now, when you look at it like that, you stop looking at, forget technology and the bombs that are exploding. The biggest war, any type of war, starts at one point. All wars have started at one point. Not with bombs, not with technology, at least. as in the digital type of technology, it all starts on the grounds of psychology. That is very important to realize. Translation, lying is a very important part of it. See, that's why I like my job, because I don't have to sugarcoat things. Like, you know what, there's some type of diplomatic misinformation and disinformation and, you know, and fake news and all this. Now, disinformation, misinformation, fake news, what, that's a fancy political way of saying lying, lying, and more lying. So, in other words, it's just lying given a lot of verbosity to describe it. Misinformation, disinformation, fake news, translation, again, that means lying, more lying, and even more lying. It's a fancy way of saying they are lying the heck out of each other. You just have to come up with these fancy words because, well, it's the people that are kind of lying to each other are all adults. You know. So, you don't want to call an elder a liar. So you have to come up with a fancy English word like misinformation. That's politically correct. You can't say presidents are lying to each other. No, you can't say that. It's disrespectful to honorable. Still disputable. Actually, the whole honorable part, it's very disputed. You have to understand psychology is a very important part of, basically, you know, I almost say this is an important part of human behavior. Psychology is a discipline of human that's based on studying human behavior. And from the look of things, we are the dumbest living organisms on the planet. Why am I saying that? Well, for one, because it's true. I don't think there's a living organism on this planet that have invented weapons of mass destruction to annihilate its own race or its own species. Nope. It's just humans. How many species do you know that have prisons? Not one that I know of. Actually, I only know of one. That's us. That kind of brings religion into question. I haven't met any species, you know, just... you know what? Before I come back to, you know, to Parliament and the English grammar that I actually noticed that actually caused the whole situation and sort of like blew it out of control. I'm going to point that out on the other side of my very nice, song. I in the Gap with the helmet on Eagle FM. It's a comedy show.
I was spinning in my own head. Every road felt half set. Looking for a green light sign. Asking stars for a little time. No more fear in my tone. I don't feel alone. I'm all sure now. Can't you tell? This love rings like a bell. Every doubt just slips away.
When you look at me that way.
Fresh energy when you look at me that way.
We talk dreams like everyday stuff. Nothing heavy, nothing rough. Sunset last midnight drive. Feels like we got this figured out. No more guessing what's real. I trust exactly what I feel. I'm all sure now, can't you tell? This love rings like a bell. Every doubt just slips away when you look at me that way.
Thank you.
This love rings like a bell. Every doubt just slips away when you look at me that way.
And welcome back, Fresh Energy. When you look at me that way. Okay. That sounds like, you know, honeymoon phase, level of relationship. Now, this week, we are rounding it up with some drama that took place in the August house that sent a lot of people going bananas. Now, that's why you people, you know, end up having heart attacks because, you know, when you are an Indo comedian, you sort of like find, use sarcasm a lot to, you know, as a defense mechanism to keep yourself sane. Otherwise you'd go bananas. Now, Noodle MP, Noodle MP, Dino Balotti. The whole thing is spiraled out of control. But I like how it started. That's when MP, Vetaruhe Kandorodhu, it pays to have Herero friends, Vetaruhe Kandorodhu, said something very awesome in the beginning. For a comedian, it's awesome for a comedian. When he said, what's wrong with that? He's from Italy. Now, at this point, I'm sitting there going like, okay, where is he going with this? And then he went straight to where I wanted him to go. He said, I'm from Central Africa. I'm like, oh boy. Now, here we go. Why am I of the opinion that they say that statement spiraled out of control because of grammar? English played a very important role, or more like the grammar. Now, here's the thing. If you ask me, from my government school acquired English, there's a big difference between being from Central Africa and being of Central African ancestry. There's a big difference between being from Italy and being an Italian, of an Italian ancestry. Now, if you say, for example, that, let's just put these two gentlemen side by side now, shall we? Now, if we say, Dino Balotti is from Italy, that means he must have citizenship, aka documentation, that proves that he's from Italy. Take, for example, an ID, and he has a passport that indicates whether he's, what he's in Namibia for, whether it's business or pleasure. Those are the documentation I will ask him to provide. Do you have a passport that says, you are from Italy and the reasons why you are visiting our country, Mr. Balotti? No, that's one. Now, Mr. Kandorodo himself, by saying that he's from Central Africa, we can ask him the very same question, so Mr. Kandorodhu, so since you are from Central Africa, when did you get into our country? And what brings you to our country? Can we have some proof of documentation, for example? How sure are we that you are not from Mozambique? So we'll need some documentation like an ID, for example, like a passport, for example, that indicates, first of all, when you got into our country and what the heck are you doing here? So, in the world of politics, one thing I have come to learn, technicalities are everything. And a lot of people don't pay attention to that, but that's actually the hard reality about politics. Take the war between Russia and Ukraine, for example. Everyone in the West is calling it an invasion. What is Russia calling it? Special military operation. Yeah. Now, you can criticize the Russians, and then until you realize that it's not the Russian thing, it's a politics thing. Technicality is everything. Ask Western politicians, is what Israel been doing in Gaza a genocide? No. Is it a war crime? No. Well, actually, a lot of people have been killed, but it's not a genocide. Well, what is a genocide? Well, according to the Geneva Convention, you see, we are straight into the technicalities. So, if you ask me, this whole, Kandorodhu Baloti thing spiraled out of control from a comedian standpoint because of one single misuse of the, someone skipped a few English language rules there, and then the whole thing, you know, ended up saying a whole different thing. Even I am from Central Africa. I'm like, not really. You are not from Central Africa. I would guess on my heck it. But, maybe Central African ancestry. Yes. Now, this is why I like to say that if you have a big forehead like yours truly here, then chances are very high you have East African ancestry. Now, when you say you are from East Africa, would be like, which country? Let me walk you through some technicalities again. Now, this is just taking place here at home. 2024, your constitutional and legal affairs went around the country to look at the physical infrastructure that's used in the dispensation of justice in line with Article 18 of the Namibian Constitution. The proper administration of justice. But commercial break.
Goeie nuus, Simba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Simba te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Cyber threats are no longer just an IT problem. They are a risk to our national security. Cyber threats are no longer just an IT problem. They are a risk to our national security and the core of our economy. Join various leaders and industry stakeholders at the 3rd Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference and Exhibition, NICSC 2026, taking place from the 22nd to the 24th of April at Arabush Travelodge in Windhoek. Corporate early bird registrations close on the 31st of March. So register now at dstech.com.na. NICSC 2026. Securing Africa's digital future.
Welcome back. So, where were we? 2024. Something awesome took place in 2024. And that something awesome is that your parliamentary standing committee went out to look at, if we are going to dispense justice the best way we can in this country, we want to make sure that the men and women that have dedicated their lives to dispensing the proper justice in this country have the physical infrastructure that they need, that gives them the sense of comfort that will make them, you know, not only proud of what they do, but to serve justice to the best of their ability. And boy, did they find that, well, the infrastructure that's being used by the men and women that are keeping the wheels of justice turning in this country is a lot of crap. Now, the first time in 2024, the national, the standing committee on legal affairs, went to Oshakati was in March. And they found that the door was broken of the Oshakati courtroom door and has not been replaced. So they went back again in July and found that the door was not replaced. So they kept it. It was only reasonable for them to ask just, what the heck is going on here? Why is it taking you guys forever to replace a door? Now. And then one very awesome gentleman that understands technicality and its significance. And he happens to be in the legal line of work. Decided to explain it to the lawmakers. Now, see, here's the thing. J.K. Rotuya was chairing that standing committee. So he came with very fiery questions. Like, why are we doing this? What is going on here? Now, let me take you back to that place now, shall we? Oh, no. Yeah. Some reason my technology is not technology. So let's do it the old school way. So 2024 questions asked were very simple. Why is it taking you guys forever to replace a door? And one very awesome gentleman that understands technicality decided to explain to them. The executive director of the judiciary, Bernard Kakuri, told them, look, I want to replace that door, but I have to do it according to how the law prescribes it, according to the legal procedures in place. That's how I should do it. Otherwise, I'm not doing it, because I know very well, if I start doing things without, by jumping through the hoops, basically by not following the laws that you guys, by the way, made and asked me to follow, you debated on this thing, and then you send it to the president, which was signed by the president. Now it's a law that applies. I'm following the laws that you guys made. Why am I the bad guy here? Of course, I'm dramatizing, Kakuri's reaction here. Now, just newsflash, that's exactly how I would have responded. Hey, because these are parliamentarians that went to him and told him, why are you taking so long to replace a door? I would have gone with, I'm following the laws that, by the way, newsflash, you guys made. And according to that law, I have to follow that law word for word, which I'm doing. Does it take forever? Yeah, it does. You should have thought of that before basically passing it through for me to follow. Now, that was the gentleman that understood and still understands the technicalities that, how important technicalities are in the world of law and the world of politics. Now, well, my good people in the Ministry of Health, to be fair, they are in the Ministry of Health. There are two reasons here. One, they are dealing with the situation of life and death, literally. So, and two, most of them are not well familiar with the world of politics, let alone the world of law. So they are more familiar with the world of medicine. Now, maybe in medicine, technicalities are not that important, but in law and politics, they are everything. So, when Kakuri here was just telling them, look, I'm following the law to the letter. You guys wrote it and asked me to follow it. I'm just doing what you guys asked me to do. And some guy at the Ministry of Health were like, you know what, what Kakuri pointed out was that I'm not procuring something that does not, qualify according to the Public Procurement Act under emergency procurement. I am not doing that. And he stood his ground. Now some guys at the Minister of Health were like, you know what? If it's taking forever to procure, just go through the emergency, even if it does not, what we are procuring does not fit the criteria of what the Public Procurement Act categorizes as procurement. Or one, we'll just procure it, even if it does not meet the Public Procurement Act's definition of emergency procurement. And they did procure things left, right, and center, products, services, you name it. What happened last year? Oh, boy, where they cooked. Look, I really don't like what the Office of the Auditor General did there, because cooking is my job. But they made it, you know, they compiled everything into a report. So thank you very much, you know, shout out to the Office of the Auditor General. They compiled everything and they cooked, well done and somewhat half burned. The Office of the Auditor General cooked the Ministry of Health half burned. Well done all the way through to half burned because they procured something, both services and products, that, you know, using emergency procurement plans, which the Public Procurement Act allows for, without making sure that what they are procuring meets the standard requirement of what constitutes emergency according to the Public Procurement Act. Now, at this point, if I was Kakuri, I would have called someone in the Ministry of Health and told them, I cannot believe you guys fell for it. Why do you think it took us about 5 months or more to replace a door? Because we knew if we use the emergency procurement method, those guys are going to come and kill us. Well, we didn't do it, so they didn't kill us. Now, well, you guys did it. Now, see, there you go, in hot soup. And you know what happened after that? And, there are articles now out there, newspaper articles, for basically the Ministry of Health now being made to look like they're bad guys. And a lot of people did not even read the report. They just read the article and went like, there's so much corruption going on in the Ministry of Health. No, that's not what the report says. But then again, that's where you have me. You're welcome. So if you are going to be a career politician, understand how important technicalities are in politics and in lawmaking and in law application. Kakuri understands that. The judiciary understood that. The judiciary understand that because they are in the legal line of work. Well, the guys in the Ministry of Health did not understand that because they're in the line of medicine line of work. And they ended up being made like the bad guys, you know, like they are the bad guys. It's beautiful. Really beautiful. I don't know why you people don't see this, but it's just, of course now. Nah. Oh, music time. This is a Cherry Fingers production.
Chambalimo, why tsunami, why lonely sound?
We are not in December. We will be in December in... Hey, why is December taking so long? Anyway, if you are going, you know, if you want to be, if you are planning on being a career politician, if you are planning on being a career politician, I have a little bit of bad news for you if you don't like technicalities. Missing out on technicalities is how people end up into trouble. Now, but let me just talk a little bit about divisions. Divide and conquer, sorry. Divide and conquer is a method that's been used in by pretty much a lot of people in position of power for a very long time. This is the oldest trick in the book. Divide and conquer. It's very important. Now, this one Israeli guy, Yuval Noah Harari. If you're not a huge fan of the guy, neither am I. Not a huge fan of the guy. But I'm a huge fan of one of his works. He's produced a lot of them. The man is bald for a reason. Because he has a lot of brains in that head. Now, his observation, pardon me. His observation on, you know, I like how he writes, basically, how he writes about, you know, how he describes the importance of division in dividing, conquering, and ruling. Because the bottom line is, at the end of the day, ruling is important. You have to do anything to rule people. You have to lie to them if it means ruling them. You have to, well, keep them fearful, aka dictatorship, if it means ruling them. And that's why we actually, well, I totally agree with Noam Chomsky when he said, propaganda is to democracy what violence is to dictatorship. Because in a dictatorship, if you criticize the leader, they just separate your head from your body and the problem solved. And anyone that asks why your head was separated from your body, they get their head gets separated from their body. And well, just again and again and again, and people just learn to shut up. That's in a dictatorship. But in a democratic society, you have to lie through your teeth. And before you start saying, you see, I knew governments lie. Well, of course they do. Governments lie. Fathers lie. Parents lie. Couples lie. Let's face it. Again, this is an example that I've used because I've used it before. So, but you're going to hear it again. Picture yourself as a parent. And your kid comes. Have you seen the movie Definitely Maybe? Yeah, that's a, well, that, you know, that's a white people movie. That movie would never have been made if that was in a, you know, African community setup. Now, imagine your child coming from school and they're like, mommy. And I like kids. They're very straightforward when it comes to the questions that they ask. Mommy, where do babies come from? Now, at this point, as a parent, I can only imagine you are confronted with two. Actually, there are two ways you can answer that question. You can just tell them, you can just sit them down and say, sweetheart, babies are from the hospital. And then you leave them to grow and they get to the age where they learn how to practice baby making and they are like, oh my God, you guys lied to me. And then, well, then you can deal with that after. That's one way of handling it. Or you can just sit your 12-year-old down and walk them through the process of baby making step by step. First of all, one, I don't recommend that because my God, you have got to be disturbed to a whole another level. Because you're going to traumatize that poor child. Now, every loving parent who does not want to raise up a traumatized child, it's important to tell them the baby is from the hospital. You can't just sit your 12-year-old and start them. Well, here's the thing. Babies come from that room that mom and daddy call the bedroom. And when we're in the middle of the day, no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear that. You and mommy activities, I will understand that when I get to the age of doing mommy and daddy activities. Until then, Please, just tell me the hospital fantasy. Thank you. Yeah. As a parent, you have to lie. Oh, boy. And someone also provided some information about lying, but music break.
Some live for the bill, some kill for the bill. Yeah. She whine for the bill, grind for the bill.
Whoa. She used to be sweet.
Some steal for the bill, if they gotta pay the bill. Yeah.
She used to be
too nice,
white
clef ain't con, Wizzy on the bill.
Whoa.
High school, she was that girl that make me do the hula hoop around the gym. High school, she was that girl that make me do the hula hoop around the gym.
Again, she's a
never thought that she would come and work for the president. Just to George Washington.
Where my money at?
She balls. He calls. She had a good day, bad day, sunny day, rainy day. All you wanna know is
where my money at?
Close leg, don't get fit. Go out there and make my bread. All you wanna know is
where my money at?
She ended up in a roll car, bruised up, scarred heart.
Now, 6 minutes to the hour of 12. Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. Some kill for the bill if they have got to pay the bill. That was Wycliffe. Is it Sean or Gene? Whatever. So let's come to division. Division, you know, divide and conquer is important. Now, lying is important, as we just, you know, established. Every straight guy will tell you just how important lying is. Yeah. And actually, one thing that every straight guy knows, and every straight guy knows that the best way to die a virgin is to tell the truth. You just tell the truth. You'll die sooner. On all step one, I know. You know, at this point, you know, that's one of those things that every time I say it in front of my female friends, they start saying, "Oh my God, that's terrible advice." But no, it's excellent advice from a comedian's standpoint. The point I'm trying to make here is every straight guy knows that the best way to end up in an emergency room is to just walk straight to a girl and tell her, "You know what? I just wanna take you to my place, take off your clothes, and then never call you again." Yeah, right. When has that ever worked out? Every straight guy will tell you that is a suicide mission. Now, our point when we see someone attractive is not to get killed, it's to get laid. There's a difference. Okay, it's getting out of hand. Now, anyway, let's get back to politics. Because once my dirty mind takes that direction, never comes back. So, now that it's been established, and the minister, you know, the minister of enjoyment, the finance minister of Uganda pointed out that, those of you that are married, that was his example. Even if you know the truth, not all the truth should be told. That's the best marriage advice I've ever been given by, a fellow African who is also a minister of finance. Well, I'm pretty sure he knows what he's doing. I mean, he managed to make all of us laugh and he's the most famous finance minister, if not the most famous minister on the African continent. So, on divide and conquer, I only have 34 minutes, and this is a lot of information. Now, because of what's going on in this whole world we live in today, especially when it comes to propaganda, oh boy, propaganda is important in the world of politics. And the only person that I at least know that explained it in very, very historical language, as using historical example, was Yuval Noah Harari. This is he's a philosopher, basically. Look, he's a brainiac, and his writing, you may not like the guy, but you are going to like Homo Deus. Homo Deus is the name of a book. Not Homo LGBTQ. This is Homo Deus. It's a different Homo. You know, when I said I like technicalities, this is me enjoying the technical application of the word Homo. And by the way, the word Homo literally means one. Homo literally means same. Same or one. You can use it interchangeably. Now, in Homo Deus, page 136, this is Yuval Noah Harari is writing about why the rich have always done anything all throughout history. They've always done anything to make sure that the lower class is as divided as possible. They must be divided either on religion or either on sexual orientation, either on tribe, either on race. It's important to make sure that the people on the ground are divided. You cannot rule over, you can't control a united group. No, it doesn't work. You have to divide them. Politically, religiously, socially, you have to do something to divide them. And that's not me. That's Yuval Noah Harari's works that I'm basically taking advantage of. Now, in Homo Deus, this is what he's writing. And he's using, from the look of things, Russia at this point. Now, he's using an example that basically predates Soviet Russia. Right? From the look of things. Now, on page 136, 135, yeah. That's where it starts from. Yuval Noah Harari's point of view on why division is important and how long it's being used to divide the lower class so that they are not united. Because if they are united, they will know who is doing them without Vaseline. Keep them divided. Then you can do them without Vaseline. And they won't blame you. Now, there was without Vaseline, that's Chicken's example, not Yuval Noah Harari or Helmut. Now, Yuval Noah Harari points out that history provides ample evidence for the crucial importance of large-scale cooperation. And victory almost invariably went to those who cooperated better. Not only in struggles between Homo sapiens, and he's writing this from an evolutionary standpoint, and other animals, but also in a conflict between different human groups. Thus, Rome conquered Greece not because the Roman had larger brains or better tool-making techniques, but because they were able to cooperate more effectively. Throughout history, disciplined armies easily routed disorganized hordes, and unified elites dominated the disorderly masses. Now, that's where the je ne sais quoi now kicks in. Organized elites have always been a small group. Now, at this point, you're asking yourself, how can a small group rule over a large group? It's simple. Just one word. Organized. The elites are organized. The elites are organized. In comparison, they are more organized than the people on the ground. I'll give you an example. There are a lot of people on the ground that are fighting over religion. You have Christians, Muslims. I'll just use these two as an example. You know, there are people on the ground here that want to murder each other over whose religion is the best. And then the Epstein files came out. And a bunch of people are basically, well, that's being dominated by Christians. If you look at multinational corporations like a multinational corporation or multinational conglomerates, just look at their board of directors and shareholders. You'll see that the list is made up of people from different races and different religious backgrounds. Bottom line, they don't care as long as it's about making money. Are we making money or not? If we are making money, then I don't care which god you worship. And you don't have to care about which god I worship. Let's make this money. That's the mentality. That's what the elite knows how to put aside their differences so that they can work on a common goal. And they have done that. When Muslims and Christians between the Middle East and the Western world were, you know, on the ground, when those two were basically on each other's necks, the Qatari gave a private jet. These are Muslims. They gave a private jet as a gift to Donald Trump, who is a Christian. At this point, you are going like, aren't these guys supposed to be kicking the heck out of each other? Well, those are the elites. They are united. Why the heck would they be kicking the heck out of each other? Kicking the heck out of each other is for people on the ground. The broke ones. Those are the ones that are on each other's necks. Now, Yuval Noah Harari, man of, I want to say man of Israel, but he's not man of Israel. He's man of Eastern Europe, decided to migrate to modern day Israel. So there's a difference. Still like the man's work though. Throughout history, disciplined armies easily routed disorganized hordes, and unified elites dominated the disorderly masses. Unified elites. Then he dives it into an example of the unified elite. Now, in 1914, for example, 3 million Russian noblemen, officials, and business people lorded it over 180 million peasants and workers. Now, the Russian elite knew how to cooperate in defense of its common interest, whereas the 180 million commoners were incapable of effective mobilization. Indeed, much of the elite's effort focused on ensuring that the 180 million people at the bottom would never learn to cooperate. Now that, Yuval Noah Harari, you are a genius. Why? Because you may not like the guy, but he's right. He's right. The best way to rule over a group of people is butt their heads against each other. Tell them their religious difference is a big deal. Tell them that being a woman is weak And being a man is strong and you must dominate and control. And the thing is, tell the children they are more important than their parents so they can disobey their parents. Tell the parents, it's okay to just molest their kids. Because, well, after all, they're providing for the kids. Do anything to divide them. Tell them they're from different tribes. Tell them they're from different races. Tell them they worship different gods. The more tools of division you give them, the more divided they are going to be, the more easier they are going to be to control. Works like a charm. Let's go through that again, shall we? Yuval Noah Harari is just pointing to facts here. The best way to do this, divide. In 1914, for example, 3 million Russian noblemen, officials, and business people loaded it over 180 million peasants and workers. The Russian elite knew how to cooperate in defense of its common interest, whereas the 180 million commoners, aka low-class citizens, were incapable of effective mobilization. Indeed, much of the elite's efforts focused on ensuring that the 180 million people at the bottom would never learn to cooperate. In order to mount a revolution, numbers are never enough. Revolutions are usually made by small networks of agitators rather than by the masses. If you want to launch a revolution, don't ask yourself, how many people support my idea? Instead, ask yourself, how many of my supporters are capable of effective collaboration? Mobilization is everything. So if you want to divide people, if you want to take over control of people, just divide them. Easy. Take countries, having multiple political parties is a good thing. Because it brings about, factors into the checks and balances discussion and stuff. But it's also very easy to destabilize a government that has more than one political party than one that has only one political party. It has its own pros and cons. Every political party wants money. Just take enough money and then give it to one or more political parties. They will destabilize their own government. And that's been done before. The war we're witnessing in Iran, a lot of people want to understand it from last week, but that war is from 1953. All Mohammed Mossadegh did was, I'm going to take care of my people using the resources on our land. Anglo-Iranian Oil, now British Petroleum, did not like that idea. They went to their countries, they took a behind load of money, gave it to politicians in their countries, this is the US and Britain, and those politicians took that money and gave some of it to the soldiers. And the secret soldiers came to overthrow Mohammed Mossadegh in 1953. And then Shah Pahlavi takes over. And then you have the guy that gave you the G-Wagon. And now, and from 1953, it was it until 1979. When the people were basically tired of the dictatorship regime. So they overthrew the guy. They stormed the American embassy and found a bunch of spying information in there. Actually, to this day, you can still visit Tehran and you will find that what was used as an American embassy now has been turned into a museum with all the information that was secretly stolen from, by the American intelligence from Iran. They decided to basically turn the whole thing into a museum, which is interesting. Now, one thing that, again, a comedian can say that no journalist can say is that all countries around the world know that about each other. They steal information and stuff from each other all the time. And embassies are the easiest way to do that. They do that to each other all the time. I know. It's kind of difficult to look beyond the Honorable, Your Excellency, diplomatic this. You know, the whole press conference. They're lying to each other. One, they're stealing from each other all the time. Boy, I like my job.
Say no. Say no forever, your peace.
The magician.
Yeah, Joker, eh. Yeah, that's all a Joker, eh. The reason he men and he must be popa, eh. All those food and the color be pumpa, eh. Eh, right. Otta, eh. See, see, mu otta, eh. Kaya muzine na kutin disalota, eh. And I don't care for the I'm a lover. She got a kind of heart and a pretty face. Niye mweko vuta kwanga ama kumbe. So many reasons in a funny way. Pagulula magwini na sanga joka. Yenyekeza ni yawe, mami. Bidibi nilindi planini. Kalibe zosinta balibe chenjiwe. I don't take you for jobs, iwe si kansi. Nango wela kusoko neza. System wa haka. Na ima tensho nindilibe mambu.
And welcome back. We are 13 minutes into the hour of 12. If you just tuned in, this is Mind the Gap with Helmut. This is Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM, and it's a comedy. It's a comedy show, not a comedy show. Comedy show. And I swear, I'm a comedian. I'm just very good at hiding it. You know, like John Oliver. So, what, according to bro Yuval Noah Harari's, reason behind any kind of division? Easy. Control, divide, and conquer. And when you look at it, that way, you begin to understand that, if you are so focused on racism, you'll think that's the only division that exists. No, it's not. It's not. Even if this whole planet was made out of only white people, there will still be divisions. Even if this whole planet was made out of only Chinese people, there will still be divisions. Even if this whole planet was only made up of only black people, there will still be divisions. We are always looking for, interesting enough is, once we come to realize that we are all the same religious-wise, we look for skin color. if the, you know, if we are all the same, if we're all Christians, for example, and none of us is white or Indian or Chinese, we start looking for tribe. Like, you know what? From which region are you? And even if you find out that you are all from the same region, you're like, from which village are you? And you find out you are from the same village. Are you from that family? See your life. We are always looking. And we are from the same family. You are from which side of the family? Oh, come on! Human beings. It's just never enough. We will try to find any reason that we will use to justify the reason why we shouldn't be working together. We'll always find one. And the good thing is there are a lot of differences. Mother Nature likes diversity. So there are a lot of, you know, differences. Some are short, some are tall, show off. Some have muscles, some don't have muscles, show off. Some are women, some are men. Some are good looking, some are average looking. Some are yellow, some are chocolate. Some speak better English. Some break it like it's a full-time job. A lot of differences. And you'll always find them if your focus is on them. What's going on in the Middle East? It's basically, you have a bunch of guys. Now, this is my favorite part about this whole, US-Israeli-Iranian war. It is being said that, the reason behind, okay, at least one of the reasons behind the whole war thing is because, Muslim is just a bad religion. Okay. Let's pretend for a while I want to take your word for it. Explain to me why would you say that? You know what? They have these laws. You know, they are oppressing women. They are oppressing children. And, you only find that in Islam. Right. Yeah. I have never heard of the, Abdusalam files, but I've heard of the Epstein files. Care to explain? I've never heard of Abdul files. I have heard of the Epstein files. Again, care to explain? His sole job was to molest children and, women, just, you guys have been betrayed more than we have as men. Then the amount of women that were involved in basically orchestrating the very traumatizing experience of those poor children. There were women involved into moving and molesting those children. I was like, what the heck? I thought you guys were the mothers. You know, women are caregivers by nature. That's Muzaki Mburi. You guys disappointed Muzaki Mburi on this one. One of them, a woman who owns an adoption agency, is one of those women that were actually exposed in the, you know, in the files, where she sent an email to Epstein saying, your littlest girl was a little naughty. I beg your finest pardon. Your littlest girl was a little naughty. That was a woman who was proud of traumatizing a little girl. We can only imagine how little this little girl was, because she was referred to as littlest. That's someone that owns an adoption agency. Child adoption. Jesus. I'm not saying don't... Look, after reading that, the last thing I'll do is give up my child for adoption. I'll traumatize them myself the African way through discipline. not sexual exploitation, for the love of God. An African parent, not child rearing advice, by the way. An African mother, you know, sends a sandal flying at her, you know, at her child. That's child abuse. And the person calling that child abuse is the one that's actually, well, sexually abusing kids that they are kidnapping around the world. Yeah, I don't know. At this point, I think, your moral ground is not a very strong one. Actually, you don't have any.
Para si huerere, veces haga muy sigimene, un luego que chine. Every day I met you, to be where you are, yeah, without you, pasha con día, when this soap un día, razón de bona, nadie pica el abu, la policía será que yo, catingi que mu, nadie retera mi venue, van a un amor y que te, de huevo. Mundi etwangwi, dakafa kuzika, vira, 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 zeli. Yeswe pina jelasi, aniswe katu vira eli. Esi zike muze nwine sinato denjara. Mpeyi, avo kuimpeyi, basha kunishekesa.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, this is Mind the Gap Comedy Show. Reference on the word comedy show with a, well, Helmut. Now, lot to say, but only have 4 minutes. 6 minutes before I start playing DJ. So we've been through divisions and why they have always worked to divide, why a lot of people with a lot of money have used them to divide people with not a lot of money. There's one American guy that described it even better for me. And he was asked, what's one thing that you find fascinating about, more like about the way that society looks at things these days? And he said, what I don't understand is how a lot of rich people, and he's talking about this from a Western society standpoint, that what I don't understand is how a lot of people with all the money managed to convince a lot of people without all the money that the only reason they are broke is because of a lot of other people that are coming into the country without all of the money. What he was talking about was that a lot of, you know, there's a lot of anti-immigrant, you know, sentiments going on in a lot of Western countries. Now, what he was talking about was, a lot of very rich people in Western countries have managed to told, tell or convince the people in their country, the citizens of those countries, that the only reason they are broke is, the reason they are broke is because of the immigrants that are coming into the country. Mind you, those immigrants are also coming in broke. So hang on a second. The reason why I don't have money is because of that guy who is just as broke as I am. If he is the reason why I'm broke, why isn't he rich? Well, maybe that's because the reason why you are broke is not because of an immigrant. The reason why you're broke is because, the reason why you don't have all the resources is because there's someone up there who is hoarding all the resources. That's why they have more of it than both you and the immigrant combined, like a million times. And the anti-immigrant sentiments is backed up by a lot of billionaires, including yours truly, Elon Musk. It's awesome. Look at. It's awesome to look at. Now, if you can convince a broke person that the only reason, step one, steal the resources for yourself. And then when the people you stole it from come asking questions about what happened to their resources, tell them the reason why they don't have the resources is because of that person who also doesn't have the resources. That's why, not you. Why, you would never do such a thing. You would never steal from them. Oh, I have an excellent example for that. I think that is that, was that Eisenhower? Definitely Eisenhower. But I'm going to get that in a few. And now go, I'm only taking the way we live. You're so dangerous.
There's something about the way you smile. My whole world stands still for a while. I think my future has begun. Cause darling, I think I found a one. Oh, maybe there's no, maybe I know that you're the one for me. And would you be my lady? You're the only one I see. I'm in love. So in love. Oh, I sent from above. Oh, so I'm in love.
Now, just a minute to wrap up my division strategy. More like a not strategy. I did not come up with all this strategy. You know, just reading through the literature that's been written already. Now, there's one American president. His name was Lyndon B. Johnson. Now, he grew up in the South. Now, he grew up in the South, and the southern part of the U.S. was where a lot of slave owners basically resided. Now, who grew up in the South and understood the politics of racism from the inside, saw it as part of the ploy to divide and conquer. When someone is telling you how different you are from the other, ask yourself why.
Ega meno jomau yerele koko marungura, kalishi ashike upsa kathi wapa uteknika, oliriwo omkundu wapa shigwana, upsa kathi wapaliko, no hashivuru oku ya moshi para uhupiro uongeshefa. Oshinimo mtumba go Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition omvo mao vigajo miongo mbalina hamano. Iikondo epangero mahanga no wapa umwene, uministeri wepangero ni ikondo ya yoroka no handimwe, onetamu ithanwa, muhoroke komtumba omtitatu watumburu wa mete tekero. Esikuwa minongo mbali naga alisikuwa mbali naga nega apiriri mwa vigalio minongo mbali na hamano ekaroko Arembush Travel Lodge Movenduka. Oshiparashi kundathanwa okuanja gane kuyerele kombinga ukoshoki wopo ungomba ano saiba hejin. Kene una okuironge kithira omashongo wako marungura no marongo kekopopeko jerongitho jo marungura na iru enji. Koneka omahangano ohandimwe ni kondo mbokata mkatuma akaliripo ya konda pantu ya tano. Otamukape wa ompito yom tugumwe awedhu wapo. Hasho ashikeshoka. Pethimbo jom tumba ugo tungoka. Otaku kakarao VIP Cyber Gala Dina. Nuyere lounji wa maisha angitho no mapura apuro. Kwa tathana nayo. Konoraje tatu imwe. Onda tuyatano. Omgo ijeali. Nenge ko email. info@dstech.com.na. Nenge utarele pwe panja jao jopa ungomba. Ko www.dstech.com.na. Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition Securing Namibia Digital Future.
Welcome back. Now it's DJ time, but before that, what did Lyndon B. Johnson say about divide and conquer? Growing up in the, you know, call it a Jim, you know, is it Jim Crow South, in the middle of a racist regime in the U.S. This is what he said, not about black people. Interesting enough, he said it about white people. That's why I'm telling you, this whole thing has nothing to do with religion, race, tribe. No, it's about control. And it works all the time. Now, the thing is, rich people understand that. Broke people don't, unfortunately. And now I have to point it out every now and then. But now, let's wrap it up with white people now, shall we? President Lyndon B. Johnson once said, if you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you are picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on and he will empty his pockets for you. This is apartheid regime 101. A bunch of low class white people during apartheid South Africa, and some of them are unfortunately still alive today, that still believe that crap. That, you know what, you are better than that person. Dude, we are both broke. The person who is telling you that, there are two people. Now, the person who is telling you that may be as white as you, but that's pretty much the only thing you have in common. He's loaded, you are not. And he's telling you to hate me for what? Now, that is Lyndon B. Johnson's observation. When it comes to dividing, make sure you use that as a tool. You know, just, tell white people, you know what? You guys are broke. Don't get us wrong, you're broke. But you are like a different type of broke. At least you're white. I mean, still broke, but white. You can have this and this and this and these privileges. They will fight to protect those privileges. But those are just breadcrumbs. If they united with the people they were told to divide, they will get more than those breadcrumbs. But when you give someone breadcrumbs, they forget working for a loaf. They forget to fight for a loaf. They will fight to protect the breadcrumbs. Lyndon B. Johnson learned that, saw that, documented it, and yours truly here just read it. Every time someone is asking you, every time someone is telling you to focus on how different you are from your neighbor, ask yourself, why are they pointing that out? You are not an idiot. You have eyes. You can see that. But why do they feel the need to point it out to you? What are they after? Look at that from a control perspective and you'll understand why. Now, Native Americans that are Native Americans and a few Baroque Europeans that first showed up to the Americas, they were living together. They didn't have a lot of tensions. They didn't have a lot of tensions with the Native Americans. Until it wasn't until the Bekan Rebellion. That's when things went south really fast. Because the Bekan Rebellion came with a division standpoint, and it came all the way from Europe. That's when a few white people on the continent were told, no, you guys are broke. I mean, you are poor, but well, at least you are white. Now, you are very different from those people. Don't interact with them because you are evolutionary above them. And that's when anthropology came in. A bunch of educated guys came in to reinforce that stereotype. And what happened after that? Genocide. So Voltaire was right when he said, those who can teach you, those who can make you believe absurdity can make you commit atrocities. And that's the very same thing that we see with 1994 Rwanda. One group of people were told they were better than others, which was absurd. What did they do? They committed a literal genocide. Always remember that quote. Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. A lot of, apartheid South Africa white people that live today that still have that whole apartheid South Africa mentality, because it was drilled into them from childhood. You know what? You are better than those ones. Now, that mentality... Now, look, I'm all for the idea that hate is taught. Yeah, it is taught. But you have got to reach an age where you just sit there and start using your own head and going like, you know what, this is good, this is bad. I have got to learn to do good. But no, that's why I like to say that there's a difference between a racist and an idiot. If you're white and you're in the middle of Europe and you don't like black people, you are racist. If you are white and you're in the middle of Africa and you don't like black people, you're an idiot, because where the heck do you think Africans are from? Now, if you're black and you're on the African continent, you don't like white people for some reason, you can be called a racist. But if you are black and you don't like you don't like white people and you are in Europe, racist is not a good description for you. An idiot, that's an excellent description. Because, well, even the soil is white. Actually, that's no. But bottom line is, it's white. The people are going to be white. And they are allergic to the sun. But they still manage to colonize us. That's a sign that goes to show that when you set your eyes on a goal, just solve the problems that that the goal throws at you. You can get your goal. Because a bunch of guys allergic to the sun colonized us on a continent that is heavy with the sun. They would have given up, but no, they kept inventing sunscreen and coming back. They accomplished their goal, unfortunately, for us. And then we started kicking the heck out of them, you know. Just one conclusion. You know, when you read the history of Africa, right? This is just how a lot of African countries fought for the liberation struggle of their different countries. We're coming together, you know, Angolans were working with Zambians were working with Zimbabweans, Zimbabweans were working with Namibians with South Africans with Tanzanian. We know that coordinated effort kicked colonialism in the behind big time. And after we got our small independences, we decided to start labeling each other again. Oh, you're from Angola. I get out of here. Oh, you're from Tanzania. What are you doing here? And well, guess what? We are back to square one. If you want to know just how powerful coming together is, look no further than the wind of change that swept across the African continent, because we came together as a continent to fight a common enemy. We had a common interest, which was independence. We came together and fought a common enemy. The British were scrambling to bend their genocidal evidence through their Operation Legacy. They were running out of time. You see, that's what coming together does. It makes you accomplish things. And then we started identifying, oh, you're from Kenya. I don't like you. Oh, you're from Zimbabwe. Ah, man, get out of here. You're from Namibia. What the heck are you doing here? And it's very easy to tell when someone is not from that country just by how they speak English. 2017, I found myself in Zambia. As soon as I opened my mouth, the first question that came out was, you're not from here, are you? Like, yeah, from Namibia. Like, I can tell. And by the way, so can I. When I run into someone that's from either South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia, I can easily tell. Fascinating. DJ time!
Get tired of your voice when you call my name. Oh, mama, I made the perfect choice. Oh, maybe there's no maybe. I know that you're the one for me. And would you be my lady? Cause you're the to find you, but now my search is over. I'll do anything for you, my lover. I'll be the one to hold you. I'll be your man, your soldier. I'll be everything you need and even more.
I could use a wish right now. Let's just pretend that all these airplanes in the sky are shooting stars because I'm so desperate to make a wish. Can I please just make a wish? Thank you.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now.
Yeah, I could use a dream or a genie or a wish to go back to a place much simpler than this. Cause after all the partying and smashing and crashing, and all the glitz and the glam and the fashion, and all the pandemonium and all the madness, there comes a time where you fade to the blackness. And when you're staring at that phone in your lap, and you hoping but them people never call you back. But that's just how the story unfolds. You get another hand soon after you fold. And when your plans unravel in the sand, what would you wish for if you had one chance? So airplane, airplane, sorry I'm late. I'm on my way, so don't close that gate. If I don't make that, then I switch my flight, and I'll be right back at it by the end of the night.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky
the days before this was a job, before I got paid, before it ever mattered what I had in my bank. Yeah, back when I was trying to get a tip at Subway, and back when I was rapping for the hell of it. But nowadays we rapping to stay relevant. I'm guessing that if we can make some wishes out of airplanes, then maybe, yo, maybe I'll go back to the days before the politics, there we go, the rap game. And back when ain't nobody listened to my mixtape, and back before I tried to cover up my slang. But this is for the gator, what's up, Bobby Ray? So can I get a wish to end the politics and get back to the music that started this shit? So here I stand, and then again I say, I'm hoping we can make some wishes out of airplanes.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now.
Kalewe Monandi Mapiano Remix.
TM Paradise on the track. The Music Factory.
Kale, Kalewe Monandi. Tiwe wangwene mutu. Jambuli nemo. Tijama kose banze. Kale, Kalewe. I don't know, everyone love and I'm the thing, little put a
Okay. Jabulani, 6 minutes to the hour of one. That's where I say goodbye. But before that, let's go with the no movie montage, actually. I mean, that's a nice one, but Pumping Blood. Minutes into the hour of one, that brings us to the end of Homerun is still already is, you know, is leaking into my head. It's Mind the Gap. Homerun is Monday to Friday, so still be here tomorrow. That is Pumping Blood by No. That's the Jane Doe remix. And yeah, again, division, not a good idea. That's if you are broke. If you are loaded, division is very important because, you know, you have to keep people divided for you to rule over them. But if you are broke, I don't see the reasons why. But look, if you are loaded and you want to divide and conquer, at least you have a goal in mind. You have to do what you do. You know, evil though it may be, maybe you have ways of justifying it, ways that helps you sleep better at night. Now, you can just, well, divide people and rule over them for all kinds of reasons. But, if you are broke, I don't see the reasons why. I don't see any reason why you should actually be, you know, side with any division. Like, any at all. I mean, when you think of it that way. And, by the way, I totally agree with, You all know Harari when he says, the main goal, 1914 Russia, the main goal of the elites is to make sure that the people on the ground, how do I put this? The main goal of the people that had all the money, their main goal, they made it a primary goal to make sure that the people without all the money would never learn to cooperate. And it works all the time because people that are broke are more focused on very trivial things like their religious differences, their sexual differences, their skin color differences, and some nonsense like that, tribal difference, etc.
Why pay more when you can pay less at USafe stores? Enjoy nutritious and delicious meals for the whole family. 4 kilogram of real good frozen and mixed chicken portions for only 199.99 Namibian dollars. 5 kilos of Polana pasta, just 129.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams Romy 37% fat spread, just 13.99 Namibian dollars. 700 milliliter crystal gold tomato sauce, just 24.99 Namibian dollars. You save where good food costs less.
And that brings us to the end of Mind the Gap for today. Until next week, same time, same place. But for Home Run, Monday to Friday as usual, you'll have a blessed weekend. Or what's left of the weekend.